This is Cool Science Radio. I'm Scott Greenberg. Do you trust your own eyes? Well, most of us would say we do. And according to my next guest, that's exactly the problem. Keelan Lazor is a digital illusionist, a tech magician who has performed in over 60 countries and appeared on more than 100 television shows, which makes him uniquely qualified to write a book about how easily the human mind can be fooled. The book, co-authored with the late neuropsychologist Dr. David Lewis, is called Unseen, Blind Spots, and Why We Miss What Matters Most. Every day, we fail to see things that are right in front of us, miss sudden or unexpected changes, and fall for illusions without even realizing it. And the consequences go way beyond a magic trick. These hidden gaps in our perception are responsible for errors in operating machinery, diagnosing medical conditions, giving evidence in court, and even influence how we invest our money or go shopping. The book covers everything from deep fakes and shopping psychology to the secrets beyond magical misdirection. And it comes with over 30 video demonstrations so that you can actually experience these blind spots for yourself. Keelan Lazor, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on. It is my honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, Keelan, you've spent your career as an illusionist, deliberately exploiting the gaps in people's perceptions. When did you personally realize that these gaps were worth a whole book and maybe not just a stage show?
That is a good question. I've been performing or learning the craft of magic since I was a young child, since I was 4 years old. But the light bulb moment came when Dr. David Lewis approached me after one of my performances and just said, you're not just an entertainer, you're not just a magician, you're demonstrating the most important research in cognitive science, which kind of threw me a curveball I wasn't expecting after that performance. So for years, I thought I was just doing tricks, but David showed me I was actually proving how really smart people make terrible decisions, and how magicians, you kind of really highlight the sort of shortcomings, the gaps in sort of human perception.
Well, then walk us through what a blind spot actually is, and not just the eye, but the cognitive kind. What's happening in our brains?
So a blind spot is literally information that's right there in front of you, but your brain has decided you don't need to see it. So your brain receives 400 billion bits of information every second, but only lets 20 through your conscious mind, and the rest vanishes into what we call blind spots. So it's not about sort of intelligence or attention. It's about how your brain works, filtering out what it thinks is relevant to save processing power. And we do it all the time.
So your book covers, and I think I've got this right, inattentional blindness, the famous invisible gorilla experiment being the classic example. Can you describe for our listeners who haven't actually heard of that, why it is so unsettling?
So inattentional blindness happens when you're focused on one task that something obvious becomes completely invisible, even when it's right in front of you. So the invisible gorilla experiment, which I think anyone who's listening, if you're interested in science, you'll probably already know about the invisible gorilla experiment. It's a perfect example of this. So people are told to count basketball passes, and they completely miss a person in a gorilla suit walking through the entire scene because they're focused on something else. So it's not that they're not paying attention. They're paying attention too much, but to the wrong thing. And magicians use this technique in pretty much all of their effects to distract your attention from one place as you do something another. But this is a much broader concern. It's great when a magician does it because you've got your consent to watch a magic trick, or you've got your consent to take part in a science experiment. But when this happens on a mass scale, that's when problems can occur.
So did collaborating with Dr. Lewis actually change how you understand why you're, and I don't want to say tricks, that's maybe a little misleading, but how your illusions actually work?
It was funny. When I actually met David Lewis, I was young. I just graduated from UCL, and I was doing sort of close-up magic at corporate events to tide me over to basically pay my way through university. And I met him at one of those events, and he said, as I already mentioned, he talked about what I'm doing actually from a science perspective. And then he invited me to his house in East Dean in Eastbourne in the UK. And this guy had bought tens probably actually hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of David Copperfield style illusions. And he bought them not to perform. He was not a magician. He performed them literally to find out how the tricks worked. And he spent like so much money of it. So when I went down there, it was a complete like treasure trove of magic there, which he really just bought to dissect the psychology behind why these illusions work. So working with David completely revolutionized my understanding. I went from thinking this is just sort of entertainment to realize actually, no, this is applied neuroscience in the real world.
That must have been amazing, going to that, almost it sounds like a museum.
It really was, yeah. He didn't throw anything away. And so he literally had levitation illusions, sawing people in half illusions, arm chopping illusions. Like, he had literally everything. So for me, as a young illusionist that didn't have access to this, it was like a treasure trove of illusions, which I suddenly had access to. And then we started to work together, doing keynote speeches together around the world. And we ended up actually using now those illusions within sort of the keynotes that we did for like sort of 10 years to illustrate psychological points.
I know that these illusions, or again, tricks, are very closely guarded secrets within your world. I mean, what was it like to sort of pull the curtain back on this?
So, yes, I'm a member of the Magic Circle, and I don't agree with our kind of exposure when people haven't sort of... We always say like magic is a closed door, it's not a locked door. So I don't agree with exposure for exposure's sake. I don't agree with when you see exposure on sort of social media, when someone hasn't asked to see how something is done, it's just kind of shown on you on Facebook without sort of your permission. But something like this book, you're buying this book, so you're interested in the topic, and then you're exploring it from a science perspective. When we were performing tricks within the lectures, I didn't openly expose how the tricks were done, but we would talk about the sort of the thinking about a magician's mindset and how that applies to sort of psychology and science.
That's very cool. And I want to circle back to the book, because you mentioned that there's a difference between not noticing something and actively missing a change that happens right in front of you. What's change blindness? And can you give us maybe a little bit of a real world example?
Sure. Change blindness is when massive, obvious changes happens right in front of you and you completely miss them, even when you're looking directly at the spot where the changes occur. So it's different from inattentional blindness, when you're not distracted by another task. You're actually watching where the area change happens. A classic example shows people giving directions to someone who gets replaced by a completely different person mid-conversation, and 50% sort of never notice. Your brain doesn't record everything like a video camera. It takes snapshots and fills in the gaps. So, changes between sort of snapshots become invisible. In the real world, you may see things like shrinkflation. So things like the amount of potato chips you might get in a bag, may have shrunk, and it's a gradual change, you may not notice it. Or that sort of washing up liquid bottle, which suddenly has a kink in the middle of it, so you don't have as much washing up liquid in the bottle. Those sort of like subtle changes are used daily life, but we miss because they sort of gradual changes. That's kind of like the real world example of what change blindness is.
So I have to say, I was surprised that you said potato chips and not crisps.
I was struggling not to say crisps.
So these blind spots, I mean, they could be amusing, right? I mean, I don't think I would even, I think I would know if somebody were giving me directions and then suddenly a new person in front of me was giving directions. I guess I'd want to maybe experience that for myself to see if I could pick up on that. But these blind spots, they're everywhere. And in a magic show context, they're amusing. But it sounds like they can maybe even be a little bit deadly. Pilots, surgeons, eyewitnesses in court. What's the most alarming real-world consequence you've uncovered while writing this book about blind spots?
The scariest part is that they can actually kill people. For example, aeroplane runway sort of incursions, pilot looking directly at runways and then missing a massive aircraft crossing right in front operating rooms, surgeons focus on procedures, miss critical changes in patients' vital signs, which is displayed right in their field of vision. Financial traders miss obvious market warning signs because they're hyper-focused on specific positions, contributed to crashes like the 2008 crash. Radiologists is another famous example, reviewing mammograms, miss obvious tumors when they're concentrating on other abnormalities in the same scan. And the deadliest part is that these aren't untrained people making mistakes. They're experts at the top of their fields, and their expertise makes them more confident in their flawed perception sometimes.
Well, can't this really be diagnosed as inattention versus an illusion?
Yes. I mean, they're kind of interchangeable. I mean, the line between attention disorders and sort of normal cognitive illusions is actually kind of blurrier than most people realize. Everyone has these blind spots, regardless of their abilities. It's not about having like ADHD or being distracted. It's really about how the human brain works. And people with attention differ sometimes. Sometimes people notice things that sort of neurotypical people miss just because they process information differently. The key difference is that cognitive illusions are predictable and universal. And I can, as a magician, I can make anyone miss specific information using the same techniques that I've sort of learned through my decades of you know, learning how to misdirect people.
So when you talk about misdirecting people, I imagine that a lot of different professions could use this. And let's pick on the law profession for a second. Can prosecutors or defense attorneys use misdirection to get a jury to say maybe, you know, accidentally or involuntarily or innocently make the wrong choices and convict innocent people?
Attorneys absolutely use misdirection techniques, and it's completely legal and happening in courtrooms every single day. They're trained to direct jury attention to specific evidence while making other facts fade into the background through timing, emphasis, and presentation. And defense attorneys might focus intensely on one piece of contradictory evidence to create reasonable doubts about the entire prosecution case. Prosecutors use sequencing and repetition to make their strongest point stick while burying the weakness in complex and technical details. And the scary part is that eyewitness testimonies, the foundation of many convictions, is extremely vulnerable to these same blind spot effects. Witnesses miss crucial details, misremember sequences and filling gaps with assumptions. But juries trust eyewitnesses' accounts as rock solid evidence when they're actually inherently quite unreliable.
So we are relying on flawed data instead of actual facts when we are talking about using somebody's life in the balance.
We are, and there's this famous example of study about, I think it was in the Israeli courtroom, also about the timing of when a trial is. Is it before lunch or after lunch? Has the judge sort of eaten just before lunch? Those sort of things also have an effect on even like how hungry someone is or how long the case has gone on for. It's the most sort of chilling realization. Well, one of them from our research, the justice system is built fundamentally on flawed human perception. Eyewitness testimonies are treated as gold, as standard evidence, but study shows how wrong, you know, that it can be about 30% of the time, you know, in serious crimes. You know, DNA has exonerated over 375 people, I think the book, I think our research found out on death row. 75% of those cases involved mistaken eyewitness identification. And it's not that witnesses, they don't lie intentionally. Their brains literally reconstruct memories each time they recall them, adding details that feel completely real. Police lineups, courtroom procedures, even how lawyers phrase questions all exploit the same blind spots that I use as a magician on stage. And sadly, the terrifying truth is that if someone's life can depend on whether a witness noticed a detail their brain was sort of neurologically programmed to miss, you know, it can be quite terrifying if, you know, you are that person.
So maybe not just the details we miss, but also the gaps we fill in that we want to believe or think we believe. It's absolutely amazing that this goes on, particularly in eyewitness accounts when juries are listening and making decisions based on these testimonies.
Exactly. Your brain hates gaps, so it automatically fills them in with what makes the most logical sense to you, not necessarily what actually happened. You know, it's called, magicians have a trick, and it's called a confabulation. And this is actually a confabulation. Your brain seamlessly weaves together real memories with assumptions, and you really can't tell the difference.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we are talking with author Keelan Lacer, who's also an illusionist, about his new book that is called Unseen: Blind Spots and Why We Miss What Matters Most. Well, we are talking, correct? I mean, this isn't an illusion for me.
Well, who knows? Who knows? I mean, I've actually turned my camera off now. I'll just switch it back on so you actually can see. It is actually me. But, you know, in this day and age, in this world of AI, who knows? Could my voice be cloned and you're actually talking to a clone of me? I'll put it back on again so you can see. It is actually me. I'm not a clone.
No, it's actually you.
But, you know, in this world, I could be a deep fake and my voice could be cloned. You know, who knows? But yes, it is me. It is me.
I'm filling in the gap, and I think it's you.
It's good. I'm pleased.
One of the interesting concepts in your book that I'm fascinated by is you have a term of art called, and I hope I get this right, illusioneering, the deliberate exploitation of our cognitive blind spots. Who's doing this to us, and should we be worried?
Yes. Illusioneering is a term that we came up with, and everyone is doing this to you. So illusioneering is the deliberate and systematic exploitation of cognitive blind spots for commercial, political, or strategic gain, typically without the sort of target's awareness or consent. And it's a term that we came up with to kind of demonstrate that magicians' techniques are used on a daily basis, but on a mass scale, by, you know, involves sort of carefully designing information environments, sort of apps, websites, news feeds, retail spaces, all to exploit cognitive shortcuts and decision making sort of patterns. And everyone is doing this, from you, tech companies, retailers, social media platforms, you know, even your smartphone is deliberately exploiting these blind spots every single day.
So what's the most brazen example of this manipulation that you think our listeners would recognize?
Red dot notification you have on your phone. That's one that's the fact that when you get an Instagram feed, you only get sort of, or a Facebook feed, you only get half of the image, forcing you to sort of scroll down. You know, your brain is hardwired to notice red as a danger signal. So those little red dots also trigger an almost irresistible urge to check deliberately sort of batch notification to create that red badge, even for trivial updates. You know, you're thinking, you're choosing to check your phone, but you're actually responding to carefully designed sort of psychological triggers. And as I say earlier, that infinite scroll on social media exploits your brain's sort of pattern recognition. Your brain keeps, you know, you're looking for an endpoint that actually never comes. And sort of even like everyday examples, like limited time offers exploit your loss aversion blind spots. You focus on what you might lose instead of rationally evaluating, do you actually need this thing?
You know how many times I've actually made a hotel reservation because it says only one spot left? Is that an example?
Exactly. This is one example of many. And it's, you know, it's not just... Yeah, it's not just that, you know, booking sites showing only two rooms left or five people looking at this hotel is to trigger your fear of missing out. Your brain shifts from, do I actually need this room or do I need this, you know, extra thing, to I'm going to lose this opportunity, completely changing your decision-making process. Countdown timers as well, last, you know, viewed 3 minutes ago messages, all designed to bypass your rational thinking and put pressure on you to, to stop thinking rationally and making sort of informed decisions.
Wow, guilty as charged. Now, I know that retailers and advertisers use this, but what about politicians? Are they using any of these techniques?
Politicians love this technique and are absolutely masters of cognitive manipulation. They exploit these blind spots more systematically than almost probably any other profession, in my opinion. They use selective attention during debates, flooding you with statistics while the real policy details disappear into your blind spots. Campaign ads exploit change blindness. They'll subtly alter opponents' quotes or images, knowing that you won't notice the modifications. Rally staging uses misdirection principles, crowd sizes and music, the timing, all direct your attention away from, you know, policy specifics. And obviously, and social media campaigns, you know, create artificial consensus through like bots and fake engagements, which is kind of well publicized at the moment, exploiting your tendency to follow, you know, a perceived majority opinion. They frame complex issues through simple emotional triggers at a mass scale, knowing your brain will fill in policy gaps with whatever supports your existing beliefs. And also, social media companies also create a blind spot within this sort of area as well, where you tend to get shown only things that sort of confirm your belief because you're interested in a thing and the algorithm sends you more things that you're interested in. So confirming your belief, even though your belief may be wrong, or it could be right as well, but you know what I'm saying.
Keelan, you're kind of scaring me. I'm almost, you've got me convinced now that I can't trust my own brain. And it's kind of scary. Now, I know that deepfakes are a huge theme in your book. And given everything that you know about how easily our perceptions can be hacked, how worried are you about what deepfakes are going to do to our ability to actually trust what we see? I mean, you now have me doubting myself.
Well, firstly, I don't want to terrify you. So the point of the book is to empower you, because once you understand how these blind spots work, you can actually defend against them. The goal isn't to make you paranoid about your brain, it's to give you the tools to recognize when someone is exploiting your perception. And deepfakes is a very real world example of this right now. And they're the kind of the ultimate expression of these principles. And when we started writing this book, deepfakes weren't really a thing. They were kind of, they were easy to spot, but now they're not easy to spot. So they exploit your brain's pattern recognition to make you see things that never happened. But the apparent part is that when you know what to look for, these techniques become much less effective against you. You know, your brain isn't broken, it's actually incredibly sophisticated, just optimized for survival in a very different world than the world we have today with all this information overload and AI and deep fakes. So it's, you know, think of this more like knowledge, like learning how to spot a pickpocket. You know, once you know the technique, you become much harder to fool.
So hopefully the book will teach us how to spot some of these and give us the information, or arm us, I should say, maybe, to understand when we are looking at our own blind spots. Is that what we're talking about here?
Correct. You can't eliminate blind spots completely. We are hardwired through millions of years of human evolution. The most powerful defense is direct experience. Once you've sort of felt your own brain miss something obvious, you start questioning your perception in healthy ways. So the book includes over 30 sort of video demonstrations so you can actually experience these blind spots happening to you in real time. There's QR codes in the book which take you to a video showing you some, you know, optical illusions or tricks or how the tricks work, etc. So you'll learn to recognize the warning signs of manipulation, sort of artificial time pressure, emotional triggers, information overload, etc.
So after decades of fooling audiences yourself, is there anything that still fools you? Maybe a trick or an illusion where you know exactly how it works, but your brain still falls for it anyway?
Yes, even knowing how illusions work, my brain still gets fooled. And that's the most sort of fascinating part of this research. There's the classic color illusion where two squares appear completely different shades of gray or black, depending on how you look at it. When you cover the surrounding context, they're actually identical. So I know this. I've known for decades that these two colors are identical. However, I'm still fooled by the optical illusion, even though I know my brain knows, but I still see them as different colors every single time. So that's the most humbling sort of experience, is watching myself fall for the same techniques. I literally sort of teach other people. My rational brain knows what's happening, but my perception system operates sort of independently of that.
Well, it's good to know I am not alone in this
you are definitely
journey
not
of my life. Keelan Lacer, author of Unseen, Blind Spots and Why We Miss What Matters Most. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Cool Science Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor. This is the first podcast I have done about this book. And so I'm so happy to sort of, because this was David's last book, our final work together. So I'm so happy to be spreading sort of David's knowledge around the world. So thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you. And if I could, I would thank David as well. Yeah. Again, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.